This is the marathon weekend. Don't buy, don't comply, ask why. Do not support the corporations, the multinational corporations that are taking our dollars and using them against us. Don't be part of the system that uses your money for war and the destruction of our planet while just completely ignoring Fukushima and the ongoing BP Gulf massacre. If you've had enough and we have had enough, then you need to stand with us, folks. And keep your money out of the system every 15th. And also now start to keep your money out of the system every second weekend of the month when we have our marathon. We have information on Fridays, programming on Fridays about geoengineering, and then all day Saturday. Then we also have programming tomorrow on Sunday. We'll have live music. We're going to have just a great lineup. And right now what we're doing is introducing you to some hosts of different Patriot radio stations who are also on board with this and helping, because they realize that unity and refusing to go along with our own demise is crucial. And I am going to introduce you now to our friend Vinnie Eastwood from Australia. Vinnie, welcome to the program.
You just demonstrated why the world hates Americans. They're actually from New Zealand.
Oh, no. And I haven't even had a margarita yet. But yeah, I think that it has nothing to do with drones.
Maybe you should start drinking.
Straight to the FEMA camp for you.
Yeah, man. Only 15 minutes by cattle car.
Right. They hate us for calling them Aussies instead of Kiwis, and has nothing to do with dropping drones and depleted uranium and being the military arm of the New World Order.
Yeah, they're just freedom haters. They hate us because we're free.
And harp tsunamis and radiation in Fukushima. But you know what? I can't think of anybody else actually to help us and to go over this than you, Vinny, because you can go ahead with your how you look at genocide. And then we're going to have Mike Chambers from Oracle Broadcasting joining you, and your producer, Mitch. So actually, Vinny, you can drive this time, and you and Mike and Mitch can talk just about why you support United We Strike and current events. How does that sound?
Well, it sounds absolutely fabulous. As far as current events sound, I've been going through an interesting thought process. I haven't been really covering any current events. I've just been interviewing different people about topics that are just basically ongoing. You know what I'm saying? If you haven't heard about it before, then it's news. And when I think about the world, I think about, well, supporting other people. An attack on one is an attack on all of us. Recently, a few friends of mine have been attacked by some very shady individuals, so I leapt to their defense and made sure that the people who were attacking them got put down quite quickly. And that's how you're supposed to act in a civilized society. If anybody in this planet thinks that we're all going to get along nice and happy and sing kumbaya and whatnot without other people trying to take everything over and steal everything, then they just definitely haven't looked at history at any point in their life with a serious eye. And I think that the only thing that we really have to do is just support each other right now, right here on United We Strike Radio.
There you go.
Indeed. And we're stronger together than we are separate. We're either going to hang together or hang separately. Let's hang as a group. That's the way I've always seen it. And anytime I can get together with like-minded people, I'm all about it. And that's why I'm here to add my voice to support and to do radio with some people I've never done radio with before. And Vinny is one of those, and Mitch is one. I've heard their show, but I've never got to do radio with them. So I'm excited about this.
Well, guess what, Mike? I've been listening to you for a while now, and I love your show.
Well, thank you very much.
And you know why?
Because 12 of us.
Well, I'm a talk radio junkie, so maybe I'm the 13th listener. Ooh, that's an Illuminati number.
Ooh, wait, we'll be double digits when we get to 33.
Mitch has talk radio diabetes.
Well, thank you very much, Vinny. I got to tell you, Mike, we had something very amazing happen on Vinny Eastwood's show. And I just want to share it with all of our listeners today. And I was really excited because when you produce, you know, it's like the movie, you know, Wag the Dog. People don't understand what we producers do. Well, we had a really interesting show with Vinny where we were able to get George Norrie of Coast to Coast AM to come on the show.
Very cool.
And what blew my mind, Mike, it just drove me nuts, was how many stories George Norrie was talking about that are happening in America that are happening in the same way in New Zealand.
Oh, yeah, so, it's the same playbook.
Mike, it's like I never left Los Angeles. They're doing the same crap here.
Look, here's it's like a football metaphor, not soccer, Vinny, but you know, helmets and pads. It's 4 yards in a cloud of dust. If I'm a football coach and I got a football team, I put them on the field, and I'm going to get 4 yards of carry by running off tackle every time. I'm never going to throw the ball. I'm never going to pitch it. I'm never going to do the option anything because I know I'm going to get 4 yards every time. I'm going to move the ball down the field and I'm going to score. And because we have short-term memories all over the world, because there's always a new little sex scandal like Wienergate here in America that occupies our mind and our attention, we forget these things. And they come at us and they run the same thing again and again and again and again. To them, you think it might get old. But no, they like it. What, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, these are the guys who came up with that axiom.
That was something that I was like questioning the other day, man. How in the heck have they been running the exact same scams with the exact same propaganda with the exact same lines and the exact same players for so long and people haven't clicked onto it?
Really, that's stupid. It's no different than a comedy show starting off in Britain and then coming to America, then going around the world. It's the same script, same everything, just different faces. And I my mind is blown by it too. I mean, for 200 years they have played the same game and they've gotten away with it. And we're just not smart enough to figure it out.
It's like watching Shakespeare's Macbeth played over, but everybody's just wearing different hats. It's I can't believe it, man.
And now playing the part of the sheep, another breed of sheep. It's like we just don't get it. It's like the running soap opera thing, you know, where they switch actors out. Now playing the part of Bubble Bob is Bill. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that faces change. But it's the same game. The situations might be a little different. The script's altered just a touch, just a little brief rewrite. And then they go out and perform it. And everybody goes, wow, I didn't know that.
Because we have such short-term memories, and a lot of people blame other people for having short-term memories and not knowing what's going on and all of that kind of stuff, when you really can't blame them at all. After all, their water supplies are poisoned. Their air supplies are poisoned. Their food supply is poisoned. There's inexorable amounts of little influences on everybody's life to make them dull and stupid and dumbed down. I don't think it's their fault that they wind up voting for the same savior that's going to stab them in the back endlessly. I don't think it's their fault at all. And at the end of the day, it's never been a large mass of people that's actually ever solved a problem. It's always been the small, determined minority.
And if you'll notice, that's the people they go after, is the small individual or the minority. That's the group that they'll focus on to keep down because, heaven forbid, you might innovate, you might come up with something, you might solve a problem, because after all, we're not about problem solving, we're about creating problems.
Well, yeah, because if a politician didn't create problems, then a politician wouldn't have a job, would he?
Well, he needs something to talk about the next campaign.
I know.
A new issue.
That's the thing. They solve one of the problems that they created in order to get elected, and then while they're serving, they create another problem and then promise to fix it if they're elected again.
it's like we've got a governor, Vinny, here in Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin. They elect this guy. The state doesn't have any debt. He goes in and creates $140 billion debt for this state and then starts firing all the unions and the employees because they've got to get rid of the debt. Dad, he created.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's just so funny.
We need a campaign. We need a campaign platform, damn it! And we're going to get one if we have to make it by ourselves.
Well, I have a campaign platform. You. It's the clown party.
Yeah.
You go up dressed as a clown with a giant, you know, rainbow wig and a big red nose and huge shoes and all of that, and you say, "Vote for me. I'm way less corrupt than the rest of these clowns."
I only take half the money from lobbyists that the others do. I only charge half as much for my influence.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll give the little guy a chance to bribe me.
That's right. Yeah, it's your bribe for $50 will buy you a moment's influence. Hopefully I'm actually in Congress or I'm in Parliament and not with some hooker, because that'll buy me an extra moment of influence with her.
Well, in actual fact, it'd be the hooker paying him the $50 for his moment of influence right there.
Well, you know, exactly, because, you know, at least a hooker's honest about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Trump, what she's about. This guy, you know, he comes smiling, he's got his nice, fresh suit, and imagine this guy actually kisses your baby. I think not, because there's no telling where that mouth has been.
Well, you see, I mean, prostitution, I say, is far more honorable than being a politician, because it's a far older profession.
And in some countries has benefits.
Indeed.
Well,
Mitch, you're just going to have to hit us over the head with a hammer, man. That's you know, just nail
okay.
it, I have a feeling.
Since you guys both talk at the same time, I'll be the lighter side of genocide and be a little more passive. Because in New Zealand, they always say, why put off until tomorrow what you can put off indefinitely? Why do anything?
We call that gridlock.
What do you say to that, Vinny?
Well, New Zealand's like the colonial slave puppet arm of an old bankster corporation set up by the Queen and a bunch of Rothschild scum. So I have absolutely no confidence that any elected official, because voters can't elect people, only electors can. I have no confidence of any type of political solution to all of this. And as far as I'm concerned, the cause-based business is the way of the future. If your business is capable of producing revenue and at the same time supporting a cause, like, for example, destroying the New World Order, that seems like the business of the future, because when people buy products now, they buy it with branding. And the whole idea to me of branding is trying to get people to understand what it is that they're actually doing with their money. Because at the moment, all the branding's just absolutely out of whack. People think that they're buying something that's nice and it's good for their health when it's like 5% fruit and 95% toxicity.
Well, hey, you wouldn't want it to be 100% toxicity now, would you? Because then again, you got to have customers coming back.
No. I disagree. I could create a line of energy drinks called Poison, and the logo would be a skull and crossbones.
You're right.
A massive warning label on it saying, yes. "Warning: consumption may cause premature death," and that would sell like hotcakes. people really have been degraded to that point. Their health is just that important to them that they will purposely go after the things that are the most poisonous to get a kick out of it.
The energy drink recommended by Undertakers worldwide. Poison.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, but
recommended by Undertakers because of the mass amounts of preservatives in them.
Mm-hmm. Forget the formaldehyde, so you save money on the back end, too. Go ahead, Mitch.
What I was going to say is it's kind of ironic that one of the biggest growing sectors of McDonald's is putting in franchises at hospitals. So after you have your open-heart surgery, you can get a double quarter pounder with cheese.
Well, that's right. Yeah, you got to be a building business.
Yeah, absolutely. And after your triple bypass, you get a triple cheeseburger.
And a free apple pie without any apples in it, actually. It has potatoes in it.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
That is so hilarious. It's amazing. Isn't the manufactured food industry basically just a big deception. Something that looks good, which is just, if you knew the truth about what it was.
Well, we were talking about this last night on a radio program I was on last night, that there's an entire industry that does nothing but make flavors. That they're artificial flavors that go into this plastic crap that we eat called Frankenfood to make it taste good. An entire industry that does it, whether it be dog food, cat food, or people food.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of times they spend so much money in the seasoning, and you realize with a lot of the fast foods, 80% of it is how it smells, the aroma. So the aroma is like perfect. So when you bite into it, you know, all the MSG and all the aspartame can be happily disguised.
And that was interesting, another thing, the revelation. One of the Colonel's secret herbs and spices is MSG.
And that's why the Colonel returns to you a few hours later.
Yeah.
It's great going down, but it rears in its ugly head about 6 hours later. You're going, Colonel needs to be demoted to captain.
80% of your sense of taste is actually through your olfactory cavity. You know, you taste it kind of through your nose, through the smell.
Right.
And KFC and all these other things, they purposely have their vents and stuff to go onto the street so that the smell wafts everywhere. So you'll go, Have you ever done that? You've driven past a fast food place and you smelt it before you could see it?
Oh, yeah. The burger places are awful about it, especially the ones that claim to grill. Their burgers when they actually are like on a conveyor with fire under it.
Yeah, well, I feel that life is simply a cacophony of evil influences upon you. You know, as soon as you wake up and start breathing, you're starting to get poisoned by something in your environment.
Yeah, and everything's going to kill you. Everything's going to give you cancer.
I know. And why is everybody putting up with it? Instead of going, hey, bro, everything gives us cancer, how can we build a society where all of the stuff that we're using in our day-to-day life doesn't give us cancer or make us go mad? I mean, didn't the Romans or something like that have a whole bunch of lead piping and whatnot, and people started to go freaking crazy? I mean, we're going through the same kind of thing here, and I'm not sure if the Romans were doing that kind of lead piping stuff on purpose, but I'm pretty sure that a heck of a lot of the poisoning that goes on in this day and age is on purpose.
Oh, so
it's addictive, too, because I got to tell you, KFC fast food sales in New Zealand have never been higher, Vinny, than right now.
Absolutely. That stuff, oh my goodness. There's people here who are so poor they have to go to KFC to lick other people's fingers.
Oh, man. So Mike, I wanted to ask you something, Mike.
Yeah.
Are you shocked with how far this has gone and how fast it's gone?
You know, it is amazing. Yeah, I am kind of shocked at this, but I actually expected things to be a lot further along than what they are, especially economically. I had expected us by this time to be in the full throes of depression. I mean, the stock market down around 5,000 or 6,000, and worldwide markets just in a frenzy. I think they grabbed hold of it, realizing it was moving a lot faster than what they wanted it to move, and then slowed that down. But all the crazy nonsense that's going on, and the weirdness of people. I have a thing on my show on Fridays called Freaky Friday. And a lot of times I will go through stories of just weird crap people are doing. And it's like every week now, the number of stories that are out there of people doing weird crap, like, is doubling. I mean, we're having people fighting over chicken McNuggets in a McDonald's.
Yep. Now, I'll tell you, there's a
theory. Oh, my goodness. I can just imagine the headline, extra, extra, world sequences of crap doubles.
The point I wanted to make is there's actually a theory on why these fights are happening. One is the level of the poison that's in, you know, fast food. And the second reason, which I find is fascinating, is that across the United States and a lot of the larger cities, they're down to like 11% oxygen. And what happens is when your body isn't getting enough oxygen living in the inner city, it makes you violent.
That has to be it, because you know, I live in a smaller town, and for a while I lived down on a 320-acre farm where, next to a town of 250 people. Those people didn't care about anything. Everything was happy-go-lucky. Here there's a little more stress. You can tell it. It's a little more palpable, but still people are much nicer. I leave my cars unlocked at night. Half the time my house is unlocked. And, you know, I don't have to worry about, you know, somebody coming up with that and they know I'm armed. That's another thing. But there is a difference. Yeah, I guess I don't, what do the buildings, keep the oxygen out or do they keep the carbon dioxide in? What do they do? What's the theory behind that?
Yeah, I don't really know, but I also think a lot of it is, like in New Zealand, they're doing the same thing they're doing in America. Like, you go into a gas station, they call them petrol stations here, and they have, like, digital, you know, big screens. You go into liquor shops, beer shop, and they have digital big screens. You go into supermarkets, and they have big digital screens, and that's, to me, in my view, that's another form of mind control.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
people don't understand the flicker rate of a television, right? The human mind can only process a certain amount of frames per second. And back when television was first conceived, they started to run the refresh rates on subjects to find out at what point you could slip somebody out of a conscious brain function state and then get them into a semi-conscious beta wave kind of wave state. So they're kind of very suggestible and emotional sort of state. And it's been going on the whole time. People wonder why. Oh, how come you're a bit of a zombie when you look at the television? It's because I'm not fully conscious. Thank you very much. I'm absorbing my zombification for the day. Leave me be. And people get freaking irritable, man. Because mind control is addictive. And one of the prominent methods of mind control is repetition.
Right. And how many times have you seen people that they're so engrossed in what they're watching that they're so clued into it that somebody will come up and try to talk to them and say, wait till the commercial! Wait till the commercial! They can't be brought out of their trance because whatever message they're getting there from that box has got them entranced. And have you guys noticed that it seems like these new LCD and plasma TVs do more to actually draw you to them than the old CRT screens did?
Well, absolutely, man. I remember looking at one and I was all of a sudden just... It was unbelievable.
Recently, we watched a film, Mike, that was on a high-definition television set here, like a 52-inch TV in New Zealand. And instead of it was a Hollywood film with Jim Carrey. And instead of the film looking like a film, it looked like a high-definition video reality TV show. And instead of the makeup looking natural, it looked like blotchy and caked on. So we have no cable TV in our house. We have not had any cable television in our home since 1995. But even my 14-year-old daughter, my youngest child, she cannot watch digital cable television. She has some disabilities and everything, and she says, Dad, I can't watch it. So she can still watch a movie like if it's on a computer or an iMac or something, but these 3D these high definition TVs, man, they're I wouldn't buy them. They're screwy.
I went to see Avatar in 3D, and we came out, and seriously, so very very dizzy as, man, like sick.
Okay, really? Were you sick too?
Yeah, man, it was just like very disturbing, eh?
Wow.
Glad I didn't see Avatar.
Well, I'm not sure if it was Avatar or just the 3D, because I've seen a couple of movies in 3D, and I don't know. I guess Avatar was really the first one that ever, but after that you kind of get used to it, sort of thing.
Well, and the whole 3D process is the Jedi mind trick anyway, that they're using on your brain, and that might be freaking your brain out too, which causes your stomach to kind of get queasy and the like. And especially if it's... I would imagine some of that 3D effect is produced from the audio, too, which causes, you know, part of that 3D effect is created in the ears, too. So you, that will make, really turn you queasy.
Well, you know, the whole thing about brainwashing and the media and different technology makes me queasy at the best of times.
Yeah. I mean, I very rarely, we have it in the house, but I very rarely watch it. And even my kids are disgusted with it. I have one son, but the only thing he wants to watch is the Weather Channel, because he's fascinated by the weather. But so it's when he's up, it's all Weather Channel all the time. And that tends to run everybody else out of the room. So it's an effective deterrent to have my 8-year-old up watching the Weather Channel, because nobody wants to watch TV. They're gone. Boom, out of here. but
like
we went for what? Yeah, this was a battle that I lost. I initially won the war, but then they re-engaged hostilities on me and wanted to bring it back in the house, and so we did. And every one of them was frustrated with it. 500 channels and nothing on. Nothing. I mean, even without all the mind play and other things, there's nothing to watch that doesn't make you feel like you're an idiot. Even the shows that are history, supposedly educational, make you feel like an idiot.
Well,
are those the shows that open up? Here's why you're so stupid, and we'll tell you why you're dumb. After station identification, a word from our sponsor.
Yeah, and then coming up next hour, it's Survivor, where we'll get somebody else that's more stupid than you. And you can go, hey, I'm not bad after all.
Oh, look at these giant retards bang their skulls together. It's American Gladiators. Here's 53 channels of it. God rest his soul, Bill Hicks. It's known and factual that the American population is far dumber than a lot of the Western world, all right? And this is not by accident, of course. And it's really sad. When I came to America, that was the first thing I noticed. Everybody's just really dumb.
Yeah.
And no offense, but jeepers creepers, man, the New World Order has been working a treat on you.
Well, and here's what's happened now, Vinny and Mitch. It is at the point. They did a study here recently where they went in and started interviewing college students, and they have found out that because of television, the ability to think critically and separate fact from fiction has disappeared. It's gone.
Yes, they've
literally disappeared.
Yeah, the other issue between fact and fiction is, if someone, you know, life is not black and whites, life is grays.
Yeah.
And the fact that we now have future generations that can't see the grays, and the fact that my grandchildren are going to live, I will live longer than my own grandchildren.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's how poisonous our world is right now. And I'm 53, and I look forward to living to a ripe old age, especially being out of the line of the radiation plumes that are flying over California right now.
Yeah, speaking of radiation, how is the continental U.S. going?
Radioactively, I guess. I mean, we're here. I mean, people—it's like people just go through the motions every day. I mean, they're so focused on these damn phones. It's interesting. You have people that walk—you'll see them walking to the store. They'll walk 2 miles to the store, and you think, "Well, man, you know, you'd think that these people might find a way to get a car." No, they don't have a car, but they've got an iPhone, and they're on it. They're on it the entire time. You'll pass them by a couple of times, and they're still on it. I went out to get some coffee early in the morning. There's a local place that's open early in the morning, so I go over and get some coffee. And there's this gal walking down the street with an iPhone at 4 o'clock in the morning, talking on her iPhone. I'm going, what? I come back about 15 minutes later. She's still walking down the street on her iPhone. What are you talking about? And if you ever sit and watch them, they'll just stare at the screen as if they're anticipating a text message from somebody.
That's the best form of mind control you could ever have, and simultaneously track and trace someone wherever they go.
Yeah, 93% of the population is not
get
right.
This. I got something I've got to tell you now, okay. A listener to my show called me up at home, and he told me about this incident one time. He was... He was drinking a little bit, and he was driving home. Now, previous to this, he'd been pulled over once, and the police had taken his cell phone number and then just let him go. And so he was driving home another night at 3 o'clock in the morning, and he gets this ring on his cell phone. And he goes, "Hello, this is a constable from the Auckland police here." and he's like, "You should pull over to the side of the road, mate." And he's thinking, what the heck is going on here? Okay, well, maybe that's really nice of the cops, whatever. So he pulls over to the side of the road, and he turns around to go home. And he gets called again, saying, "I know you're on Egmont Street, and I need you to wait there, and we're going to come and talk to you." And by this time, he's really freaked. He manages to get home and get into his property, park his car, get in the house, and close the door. The police come, they knock on the door, but he just doesn't answer it. And they walk away. But what I deduce from this is that when the police pull you over, as they're doing in checkpoints now all over the place, sometimes they'll take your information from you, and they can actually track and trace you literally whenever they want.
Yeah. It's amazing once they find out that there's nothing they can get from you. They let you go rather quickly. And I got stopped at one of these here about 2 weeks ago, and I had my daughter with me. And it's like you have to make that decision at that point in time. Do I want to fight this battle here with my kid? Or do I want to see that my kid gets home? Because if you fight the battle with him, you probably end up in the slam, and your kid ends up in the fine custody of CPS. So I acquiesced, and I let him do his thing. He looked around my truck for a minute and said, "Okay, get out of here," because he realized I didn't have nothing for him. So off I went. And fortunately, they were back when I came back by later. And I guess they were all talking on their phones or something. Who knows? Because that seems to be what everybody does. Even the cops are on their phone. They're on their phone more than they are on the radio. I literally have seen people near accidents occur in front of a cop, and they don't realize it. They're on the phone. It's like, oh, you got to call him up. "Hey, officer, there's an accident in front of you." "Oh, damn, I was on the phone. Sorry."
Well, this is the thing. The American public's been dumbed down, and so have the American politicians and the American police and everybody. Everybody's been dumbed down.
Yeah, everybody's expectations of things are so diminished.
And you know what? That's the key to happiness. Really low expectations.
Yes. Because nobody's disappointed.
Yeah.
Except at Christmas time. Now, at Christmas time, Vinny, you must go out and you must spend every dime that you have, plus stuff that you find on the ground, and anything that you can borrow. Max out your credit cards, max out your credit and everything, and bring home a veritable feast of toys for your children and everyone to look at and ooh and ah over and break in 10 minutes because it's cheap Chinese crap that you bought at Wally World. And so it's sitting there and you're looking at it and now you have a mess of crap to clean up, which means you got to go get a new vacuum cleaner, which is cheap Chinese crap. But your credit's so extended, well, you're probably going to have to go down to a payday loan place and put collateral up on your vehicle to go get it. But that's okay because now you've got the payday loan and now you've gone back to Wally World to get the cheap Chinese made vacuum cleaner. You got a little cash left over. There's a casino in town. You're like, maybe I can get a bankroll. Okay, so you go to the casino. You drink a little bit. You've enjoyed yourself. You played some slots. And the next thing you know, you're freaking broke. All you've got is $2.99 in your pocket. What are you going to get? Hey, let's go to McDonald's.
So Mike, I've got a great idea for a reality show.
Okay.
And you and Vinny are so great on the air together. You really are. We're going to call the show American Stampede. And here's what the show is. You and Vinny go out every weekend during Christmas or Thanksgiving and interview all the customers at Walmart who are killing and stampeding each other. And whoever survives the stampede, they win a big screen digital TV. What do you think?
Well, that would be great, complete with a video of their performance.
Absolutely.
Yes,
it could be American Stampediest Home Videos.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that would be absolutely great, and we could do that. And I've even got the theme song for us.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rollin', 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 rawhide!
Hey, yeah! Yeah!
rolling.
There you
rolling,
go.
Rolling.
Yeah, we'll resurrect Frank Lane from the dead.
Hey, we got to get some sponsors like wheelchair companies and nursing homes. You know, the people are going to be taking care of these people who are stampeding.
You know what? I reckon Exhibit from Pimp My Ride, you know, rolling, rolling, rolling.
Do you realize, Mike, in California that as a result of the chemtrails over California, that dementia and Alzheimer's is up by 1,000% in the last 5 years?
Oh, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. Alzheimer's rates are up everywhere because of these damn chemtrails.
Oh, well, and everybody's frickin' deodorizing now, and all of that deodorant's full of aluminium.
Yeah.
It's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. They tell everybody that the sun's real frickin' bad for you when you need the gosh darn vitamin D to keep you safe from bugs and germs and whatnot. And then they put aluminium creams and stuff on your skin, which may protect you from sunburn. But will give you aluminium poisoning.
But very soon, no need for wiring. You'll be conductive yourself.
No. It's just an endless array of cacophonies and poison. It's just so horrible. But the great thing is, I like to look on the lighter side of genocide. Because the world's so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go friggin' nuts.
Yes, it's the softer side of psychopathy.
Well, and this goes back to the real serious part of the conversation is that we should come together on the points that we agree, because the points that we disagree are insignificant by comparison.
Yes.
For example, we all need to be able to live and survive and be free. To a certain extent, we don't want to be absolute debt slaves for the rest of existence and have our children in chains going through CPS.
Exactly. Exactly. So let's get freedom first. Let's free the world. And then we can argue, was it planes, no planes, thermites, or energy weapons at the Twin Towers? Then we'll argue about that stuff later. When it doesn't matter, we can sit around playing checkers and drinking, you know, some nice New Zealand beer or something. Then we can argue about that stuff. But now it's not important. It happened. They did it. Okay, let's move on and let's get our world back before it's too late.
Absolutely. Take
back the
control of the ends of power.
The reality is, does the average American, Mike, realize what's actually going on? Do they realize that quantitative easing is the Federal Reserve printing money as fast as they can to give the illusion that the economy is still going?
Well, yeah, they don't realize it, but it's okay to them because their check still cashes. Their iPhone still works. And their lives are still going on. Now, granted, what they have in their pocket doesn't buy as much. They're having to cut back. But still, they're driving their SUV. And for the most part, people are still going to work. And their lives are still continuing. The kids still got Nintendo and PlayStation. And everything is operating normally for the most part. And as long as that operates and you've had the bread and circuses continue and American Idol out 19 times a week and Dancing with the Stars, everybody's okay because they can live their lives vicariously through others. And so, yeah, as long as that continues, people are going to remain oblivious. Now, what's interesting is that those that are being affected by this are those who are starting to wake up. Those that see their businesses and their money and their pensions go straight to hell are waking up. It's interesting. My mom, when I first started doing this kind of radio and looking at this stuff, thought I needed to be psychiatrically examined. When her pension got shafted, she came to me and started asking a hell of a lot of questions. So when they're affected by it, then they start coming and saying, okay, you're not so much an idiot now. Tell me what's going on.
Wow.
And that goes back to an argument about how can you draw attention to an issue without someone having to go through something really terrible? I can't really think about it because what happens is that all these false flag terrorism attacks or whatever, people are used to getting shocked into making big changes in their lives. They don't make big changes in their lives because of, someone advising them differently in the main. That's
right.
What happens. A lot of the best and brightest and most dedicated activists in this world are the ones who have been shafted by the system the hardest in many cases.
Well, it's like, case in point, my 15-year-old son. He went and was doing some stuff at school that kind of just, you know, horse playing and some other things. And he had told me that they'd been doing this. I said, look, you better stop this or you're going to get in trouble. No, no, Dad, I want it. I said, look, I went to school. I used to horseplay. I used to get in trouble. And in those days, they'd bust your ass. Now they just kick you out of school for 3 days. So I go and pick him up at school one day. He had to stay for being late to a class. So as I come out, I pull up. He comes out and he says, Dad, I need you to come inside. I said, well, what for? He says, well, I need you to talk to the principal. I said, okay. So I get out of the truck. I walk in, and sure enough, he'd been nailed for the very horseplay that I'd told him that he should probably, you know, remove himself from because he's going to get caught and they were going to get in trouble. And he looked at me as we were in the truck and he says, you told me not to do this and I knew not to do this, but I did it anyway because I thought, hey, you don't know nothing. And I think we're like rebellious children. I mean, look at all the things we've been told by people in the past, whether it be Washington, Jefferson, others throughout history that have warned us about these things, and we don't listen to them. We just don't listen to them. It's like, what do you know, old man? You live back when it's a horse and buggy. I'm driving a big old V8. What the hell do you know? Boom!
It's like when you compare yourself to other people when you know nothing about the other people. You ever get into those conversations where the conversation ceases to be about a subject and it starts to be about you and the other person? You start to talk about, hey, you don't know what you're talking about, pal. You're just a communist, fascist, pig or whatever. You think that the world is all rainbows and sunshine, and if you wave a few socialist placards that the world will come to a great, great happening. And they respond by saying, you're just a conspiracy theorist and you don't know anything about this. You're blowing it all out of proportion and it's all in your head. So instead of me talking about how I feel and them listening to me and then them telling me how they feel and me listening to them, it gets into this fight where nobody knows what they're talking about.
Exactly.
I'm telling somebody what they think when I know nothing about them and vice versa. What the hell is this, man?
I know. I was in a discussion with my mother-in-law, of all people. Folks, don't get in discussions with your mother-in-law. It's dangerous. You end up leaving very frustrated. And it was about a number of issues about the news and other things. And she, in her mind, if it didn't occur on ABC, CBS, or NBC, it didn't happen. And I was talking about some things that had happened. And in the end, she called me a Nazi commie pig. I said, well, first off, Nazis and commies are diametrically opposed to each other. And it's like, hang on, wait a minute. So I finally left that conversation. That was enough of that, and she and I no longer speak. Unless, of course, I say, you know, she'll say, is so-and-so there? Yes, the Nazi commie pig will go retrieve them, just a moment. And so that's about it.
Yeah, man, when it resorts to name-calling, the conversation's over, man.
It's over.
No,
but, you know,
nothing good can come of it.
Yeah, and there's another piece, Mike, when it comes down to the name-calling, which is really bizarre. They get into the name-calling, I think, and I don't know if you're like mine with this, Vinny, they get into name-calling because they don't really have an argument for it.
Yes,
and they
that's
get
it.
And they get into name-calling because there's another really bizarre thing that's happening, and me and Vinny have been noticing it more and more, and that is that if you get confrontational with anybody especially, you know, Vinny's 26, but in America, a lot of 26-year-old men are really like boy men, and if you confront them on anything, they kind of wither.
Right.
You know, and just think about this, what's happening to our young men in America. If you owe money on a college loan and you can't pay it, you can either be arrested now or you can just be put in the army and sent off to Iraq.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. But, you know, you watch this and you see this and you're having discussions with people and you're doing your best to show facts. But I found something. I found a new tack with people that worked. And I did this recently. With some friends, we were talking to some friends after dinner, and, you know, they asked what I did. I said, well, I do a radio talk show every day. And they said, what are you talking about? I said, well, we talk about, you know, the news, politics, conspiracies, other things like that. They said, conspiracies? I said, yeah. I said, I subscribe to the conspiratorial view of history. And they said, conspiratorial view of history? They'd never heard of that. Most people haven't. And so I started explaining that. And they said, really? And I said, then you start explaining that, and then you start bringing events and different things in there. And as opposed to insulting me, having their ego bruised, they listened. And they listened intently for about 45 minutes. It's like, wow, this is a little bit different because there is no confrontation. Because all you're explaining your point of view. You're not saying that they have to accept your point of view, that they're dumb if they don't know your point of view, or that they're misinformed if they don't know your point of view. It's just that, hey, here's the theory that I have, that it's not just balls randomly bouncing around that bounce into each other, that there are actually people controlling these balls and making these balls do certain things at certain times. That's an easy concept for people to grasp.
Yeah, absolutely. And I say the solution is kick them in the balls.
Yeah, that works too. And as they're on the ground, you go, 9/11 was an inside job, bitch. 9/11 was an inside job. There you go.
And turn them into a 9/11 was an inside balls.
Inside balls, yeah. I've even gotten in conversations with, you know, with 9/11, those towers came down because they had jet fuel fire. I said, oh really? I said, that's interesting because one of the towers burned like for 4 or 5 hours once on a lower floor, and the thing didn't crash. Oh, really? Must not have been jet fuel, though. Okay, it's a hydrocarbon fire. What the hell does it matter?
Well, jet fuel is like 80 or 90% kerosene or something like that. I mean, it's like, when was the last time you had you saw a kerosene lamp melt or explode into particleized dust? I mean, All right.
Where's the fire department being called out every time somebody grills?
Well, that's the perfect example, okay? When you're grilling at home, this is the 9/11 was an inside job test. Okay, test number one, does the grill melt? Okay, no. All right, test number two, does the grill explode into particleized dust?
No!
No.
Unless, of course, the food you cook really sucks.
Or unless it was manufactured in Fukushima.
Yes. And then it glows in the dark, and you can cook at night after the sun goes down.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you never even have to throw any logs onto it or give it any gas because it burns for itself for over 10,000 years.
Where were you on 9/11? I was watching the Zagruder film of the JFK assassination. Where were you?
What was that? Frame 57, I think it was, I was up to.
You know what happened on 9/11 is that you saw an outpouring of actually anti-US sentiment that wasn't reported in the media. Like, no kidding, man. I was a high school student, and everybody was just like, yeah! No kidding, man. People were just like, oh, the Americans needed to be taken down a peg. Maybe it was a bit harsh, but, you know, still. Everybody thought it was kind of perfectly justified. That's how much America has come to be hated by the rest of the world, man.
Well, it's our fault. You know, it's our fault. I lived in Iran when I was in 1978, and I saw how people were from all over the world. And then we're no different. I mean, you're in New Zealand. We're no different. We have the same wants, needs, desires. We're the same. We might look a little different. We might dress a little different. But we're the same damn people. And when we Americans, we'll go to other places. I mean, look, I know people who have gone to places like France. In Germany, and are pissed off because the French and German people they were dealing with didn't speak English. Wait a minute, you're in their country. No, but I'm American. Well, then why don't you get you a Berlitz book and learn a little French and German, or don't go. Oh.
Yeah, or why don't you just, you know, use your American influence to, I don't know, invade Germany with an enormous amount of forces or something like that and set up concentration camps and teach them all English in those concentration camps and then release them so that you can have a nice little American colony. How about that?
Yeah, well, it sounds like Iraq, Afghanistan, other places that we have permanent bases, yes.
Oh, really? Because I just made that up off the top of my head.
No, think about it. America's in over 100 countries. With permanent bases, and that's essentially what they do. They have a staff of local people that come in and operate things like the laundry and the cafeterias and other things like that. The non-essential pieces of the base. And what do they do? Basically, they're bringing them in. They're teaching them English. They're indoctrinating them to American ways of life. Other things like that. It's essentially the same thing, except these people are getting paid a measly wage for it. And there's no house.
Oh, well, at least they get as much opium poppies as they can smoke.
I can tell you a story about opium poppies.
So, Mike, do you feel better knowing that the U.S. military is guarding all of the you know, all of the poppies, you know? Does that make you feel better?
Well, it makes me feel better that I know that the Queen feels better now and that she's able to actually, you know, remain in human form as opposed to lizard form more often. Because, you know, when the poppies were in danger, the Taliban had actually eradicated the poppy crop in Afghanistan, that she remained in lizard form most of the time. But we are guarding them. It's up like 400 or 500% bigger than it ever was. The heroin coming into the United States is more potent than the crap they were getting from Mexico, and without E. coli, by the way, because they're not crapping on the opium poppies in the fields. And now we've got people that are dying from instant overdoses. They'll do the same dose of the Afghan heroin that they were doing of the Mexican heroin, and they die like instantly because it's too much. But so yeah, I mean, I'm happy that the Afghans put out a quality product and that we are there to guide it, to guard it. Not only the poppies, but pipelines. That's an important thing too.
Yeah, and how? And how do you feel, Mike? You've got America in Syria. You've got them in, Iraq. You've got them in Egypt. And we're freaking all over the place.
I know. It's just to keep the peace, you know, because after all, the world would be a really, really bad and dangerous place if so many people weren't strung out on smack.
Well, and I think there's a bigger piece to this, too, is that eventually what you do is you extend your military so far, because here we built this huge standing army. You can't just shut it down overnight. If you want to bring about tyranny to your country, and you've got a strong military that you know would turn on you in a heartbeat because their family members are subjected to the tyranny, what do? Well, you spread them out all over the world. And then when the resources run out, you can no longer pay them, you can no longer provide for them, what happens? They're stranded right where they're at. And when the spare parts and the supplies and the bullets that they have run out, those people in those countries where they're stationed will come in and overrun them. Problem solved. Out of the way, you get your tyranny. It's done and over with.
Well, the United Nations has decided that it's a good idea to make a lot of countries around the world demilitarize slightly. And then with the military budgets that they save from getting rid of their arms, they donate it to the UN for the World Army.
Yes.
Which is going to be runs through NATO and whatnot. So, tyranny, ladies and gentlemen, Blitzkrieg, the lightning war, coming to a town near you. And it sounds like boom, boom, kadoom.
On an HDTV. And for the first 50 people, free chicken McNuggets.
Yeah, absolutely. Chicken McNuggets. And also, you get sachets of depleted uranium powder to put on your fries.
Yeah.
Supersize my cancer!
Yes. Yeah, I want the jumbo tumor, thank you.
Supersize my water table contamination, please.
Exactly. They say we're out of time. This is going to buy really fast, guys.
Yeah.
It's going to buy so fast that I almost feel like I'm on the radio.
One hour? I mean, I do 4 hours a day.
You're listening to United We Strike Radio, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Vinny Eastwood, and we've got Mike Chambers and Mitch Santel. Tune into us at UnitedWeStrikeRadio.com.